around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here this Tuesday. I trust that you're walking by faith, believing, trusting God to supply all of your need according to his riches and glory through his Son, Christ Jesus. What a mighty God we serve, and how well he makes provision for us. He is a God of divine provision. I love Psalms 37:23, where David said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David was reflecting, rehearsing, you might say reliving, his past. And he looked, he observed, and he understood, I've never been forsaken. None of the righteous have ever been forsaken. But God has eternally been faithful in every sense of the word. And no matter what transpires in the coming days, God will be faithful. I want to encourage everyone to be studious. I want you to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. As I've said, study your circumstances. Study your situation. Because when the world changes, and of course this is all for the most part directed at the destruction of America. This is not by happenstance or poor leadership or incompetence. No, 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 no. This is an all-out assault, and this administration is accelerating everything the Obama administration had said. Remember, Obama's motif, his theme was hope and change. Hope and change. And when you see the perversity and all the major corporations, of course, I do not drink beer, but Budweiser has taken a profuse toll in their embracing of transgenderism. But no one should ever patronize them again. You know, I try as I can. It's almost impossible because everything has become tainted. But I try to stay away from things that help these corporations if I can. But it's virtually impossible. I remember some years ago, I was looking for a barrel fan to put in my shop. And I went to Lowe's and I looked and looked and looked, and I thought I found the proper right barrel fan, and I looked up at the box, turned it upside down, turned it over, everything I could do. No signs that it was made in China. Got it home, took it out of the box, made in China. See, the corporations became wise. Remember Walmart's theme, motif, made in America? You don't hear that anymore, do you? Because it's all made in China. We have built up the very nation that God may use to chasten us. Think about that. We built them up, gave them favored trade nation status. My God, they are bigger and some ways more advanced than we are. They don't hardly use cash in China at all. They're all using their phones to pay their bills, et cetera, et cetera. The tyranny and all the millions of cameras that are displayed everywhere to watch everything that you do. This is evil. Our founding fathers, I'm telling you, our founding fathers If they could come today and walk the halls of Congress after 1 hour, build the gallows, the hanging start sunrise Monday. Because it's so treasonous, and it's been so subtle up until the last 4 or 5 years. It's been so subtle, we've all just kind of sat in the pot and been stewed and didn't know it. But God is just to open up and let people see the truth. Yet when they see the truth, they still don't respond correctly. They don't respond correctly. But this is where prayer, reading your Bible, seeking the face, the counsel of God, that he will help you here in the time of the end. I want to play a beautiful song today. It's entitled, Give Up. No, don't give up on the Lord. Give up on you trying to work it out. Put it in the hands of God and give it to the Lord and give up in your own natural strength. Working as a Christian in the flesh will exhaust you so quickly. Let me say that again. Working in the flesh will exhaust you so quickly rather than walking by faith, trusting God, being led by the Holy Spirit, and let God take care of it. You'll grind yourself to powder if you try to live your Christian life in the flesh. It must be lived in the Spirit. So I encourage you to give it all to Jesus. Just give up and let Jesus take over. Amen.
Talk with Jesus. Hey, can I say something about this song? Some of y'all know the Kraft family, and really how our family got started was we saw a Gaither video, and there is not a voice like this man right here. That's the truth. And he inspired all of us, and I want to say thank you, because there's a lot of singers out there that try to be you. You're incredible, and I love you. Don't you love this man? Come on.
Give up and let Jesus take over. Give up and let Jesus take over.
Makes a way for his people. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, he will make a way. You just have to give up and give it to him. I want to go back today. I want to pick up from where we left off yesterday with the new subject, preservation in the midst of judgment. We saw how that at midnight, it was a time of the twisting away of light coupled with adversity. We witnessed as Egypt's grace was now over. The grace, the leniency was over. Judgment must begin. As I said yesterday, the Egyptian monarchy was hereditary. The oldest son would be crowned the prince of Egypt once the dad, Pharaoh, died. God made that impossible because he was taking the firstborn male. Oh, there could be succession, but what you might deem as rightful succession, God did not allow that. God dealt with Pharaoh and all the calamities. Now, I want you to listen to me today. All the calamity and calamitous events that took place was upon Pharaoh's shoulders. Had he hearkened to the voice of God, had he had a humble, contrite, repentful disposition, he could have saved the carnage, the depth of death and hell itself could have been avoided, but he would not hearken to the commandments of God to let his people go. Regrettably, men tend to blame God when there are acts of judgment, when they should never blame God but blame themselves, take responsibility for their own actions. This is why I have said Joe Biden is a judgment on America. One of the most dishonest, disingenuous, misleading man that I've ever seen in my life, and how he plagiarized so many, both in Europe and in America. John F. Kennedy plagiarized their speeches word for word, wanting to be something that he never was and never will be. And now he is the hull and the shell of a man. There's something desperately wrong, and anybody with any comprehension, any understanding knows he is not the president of these United States. As I've said, and I will reiterate it, I have not seen repentance. And you have those false prophets who ask the question, how much repentance is enough? I've not seen national repentance, and neither has he. The man is a fake. The man is a fake. And he prophesied Donald Trump would get back-to-back terms, but it didn't happen. And are we so shallow and so naive to not believe that if God wanted Donald Trump to get back-to-back presidential terms, he could have not done that? How is it God can take a Hebrew, Joseph, and put him in Egypt and make him second in command? How does that happen? That's because God can do anything. I closed the program out yesterday reiterating God can do anything. But Egypt's wicked leadership brought about their judgment and their national destruction. This is what happens when wicked rulers rule over a nation. All Pharaoh had to do was get off his high horse, obey the commandment of God, and everything would have been all right. Israel would have left, made their exodus, went out into the wilderness and worshiped God. Oh, no. You see, pride, just like Nebuchadnezzar, gets in a man's way and he cannot do the right thing. Pride will not allow people to do the right thing. Pride causes people to act unruly. Pride always stirs strife. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Stinking strife from stinking men who are nothing but the personification, the embodiment of carnality. Yes, Pharaoh thought he was a god. The last several weeks I've noticed in my personal prayer time, I spend more time thanking God than ever before. Why I have begun to pray that way, I'm not exactly sure. I'm not certain. Maybe because I'm getting older and I realize the long-suffering, the mercy, the goodness, the forgiveness, the redemption, the love, the grace of God, having been magnified in my life, I'm becoming more sober. He's worthy of all my thanksgiving. You're standing today because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Leadership in this Egyptian era brought judgment on their nation. I want you to listen to me. Many said it, I've said it, Donald Trump was a mere reprieve. I know I'm too conservative for most people, and that's perfectly all right. I'd rather err on the side of being too conservative than being too liberal and lose my soul. Listening to one of the hosts on Fox News the other morning, was talking about AI. Said, you need to get you a glass of wine and sit down and listen to this. Why? You need something to work on your emotions and feelings, so you need some alcohol. I hear all these people talking about being Christians, but they drink, they smoke dope, they affect their brains with chemicals, whether it's alcohol, weed, or whatever the case might be, and yet they have the audacity to say, oh, but I'm a Christian too. People live anyway and claim to be Christians. We are in such a debacle. We have people that are flat out disobeying the word of God, whether it's fornication, adultery, drunkenness, lying, homosexuality, and yet they profess God is the Lord of their lives. That is not possible. That is not possible. That is utterly impossible. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, period. You just can't work both sides of the street. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Look at the joy, the prosperity, and people making money, and housing was flourishing, et cetera, under Donald Trump's administration. Now look at what's happening to us. Interest rates are going off the charts. Every time the interest rates go up 1%, it causes hundreds of thousands of people to be knocked out of the ability to purchase or buy a home. Car payments are getting so high, people can't afford them anymore, and they're pushing EUVs, electrical vehicles, or EV, I should say, electrical vehicles, and we've not built power plants, and God knows how long. Where's this source of energy going to come from? Everything is working against us. Everything is working to bring about our demise. Everything is working about to bring about our destruction. It's all working against us. Why? Because righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach, or sin is a disgrace unto any people. And we are getting to this threshold where you're going to begin to see the difference between the redeemed and the unredeemed. The redeemed in the days of Moses were protected, while the unredeemed had no protection. There is protection in serving God. Psalms 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now look, let's just look at that passage there for just a moment. Psalms 127:1. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Where was the watchman during all of these balloons floating over America? You see, if God doesn't keep a nation, it can't be kept in the natural. Where was God on 9/11? We keep getting pulverized with one calamity after another, and yet no one says, my God, we need to pray. We need to repent. We need to stop living sin, lives of sin, and start living for the Lord, living righteous and godly lives. You will witness the difference between the redeemed and the unredeemed soon. I know it rains on the just and the unjust, but I believe with all of my heart, as the scripture says here in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe, that word woe in the Hebrew, great is the grief unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be done unto him or given unto him. In all of this calamitous death and carnage that was meandering through the entirety of Egypt, the Israeli dogs neither moved their tongues, neither howled, even though there was great weeping and lamenting throughout every Egyptian home. I feel in my heart that when this death angel began to make visitation, there were young people would say to the older people, do you really believe the blood we put on the door out there, the doorpost? Do you really think it'll make a difference? And the godly elder said, yes, God said it, I believe it. I will put a difference. I will put a difference. That's what he said there in Exodus 11, verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Remember, Egypt is always symbolic, typifies the world. Israel, the ecclesia, the called out of God, the church, the body of Christ. The word difference in the Hebrew means to scoop out for protection. The word difference means to scoop out for protection. It's like taking a ice cream dipper and dipping it into the ice cream, and you pull that scoop out and you're going to protect it from the other. So God, with his holy hand, he scooped out protection for his people. We need to understand God can scoop us up in his hand and protect us. If he can hold the world in the palm of his hand, surely he can hold the people of God in his hand. Again, as I shared with you yesterday, this particular time frame during this event, the Bible says there in Exodus 11, such as there was none like it, no shall be like it anymore. That is parallel with the great tribulation. When I was studying this, reading this, I'm like, this again, nothing new under the sun. That which has been will be. Same identical phraseology when Jesus said in Matthew 24:21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Egypt was going through a type of great tribulation, but in all the dwellings of Israel, there was a difference. The Bible says that God sent darkness. The darkness was so great, it could be felt. You could feel the darkness. That is profuse darkness when you can feel it. But the Bible said in all the dwellings of Israel, there was light. Who is that light? Who was that light? That light was Jesus. He was the Passover. He would be and fulfill Passover with his own death, burial, and resurrection. There are some things coming to America that we're just simply not prepared for. In our scripture text here in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, Isaiah is told to admonish the righteous and tell them and promise them, it will be well with you because you have sought to live a godly life before Jehovah. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. The word well here in the Hebrew means to be favored, precious, prosperous, and cheerful. In other words, the righteous will be kept, and they will eat the fruit of their doings because of their willful obedience. The righteous sow the right kind of seed, thus they reap the right kind of harvest. And the exact opposite is said about the wicked. The wicked sow the wrong kind of seed. They reap the wrong kind of harvest, but they will have to eat what they have sown. This is why the Bible says, be not deceived. You're not going to mock God. This nation cannot mock God with its perversity. You know, some weeks ago, Elon Musk was on Tucker Carlson, and I saw some of the interview, and Tucker began to probe him about consciousness, God. And I watched Elon Musk as he very, very judiciously and carefully spoke about consciousness. See, a conscience tells you there is a higher power than you. And your conscience says you must do the right thing. But Elon said, I'm not sure about consciousness, or is it an illusion, illusory? And I thought, God, deal with him. Deal with him. I prayed for him. Why? He has a soul. He's going to spend eternity somewhere when he dies. And through his liberal background, have you noticed he's leaning more and more in a conservative mindset? God has a way of changing people's lives if they can be led, if they will be led, if they will surrender, if they will submit. God can save Elon Musk and wash him in the same precious blood that those of you listening have been washed in. God is no respecter of persons. Oh, I know he's got numerous PhDs in physics, PhDs in energy, just so much knowledge. But at the end of the day, there's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. There's a sense in all men. There is a higher power, and we all know that if we're not reprobate. We all know intuitively, there is majesty, there is deity, there is a God. Though people loathe and despise it, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, /Israel, the God of Israel, the one God, the only true and living God. People want to say, there is no God. Well, you're a fool, the Bible says. Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Only a fool would make that statement, there is no God. Do we not understand Psalms 53, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. You see, when you deny the existence of God, you are corrupt. And you do abominable deeds and actions. And that's why this nation has become so pagan and heathenistic and doing so much damage to young people. But it's by design to lose this generation. Oh, how have I prayed lately? God, give me favor with young people. Let them hear my words. Let my words be filled with overwhelming conviction, yet seasoned with deep compassion for their lostness. But let them be so convicted of their sins, they know they must repent. They must get right with God. They must turn from their wicked ways. Pray for the sinners. Pray for the lost people. Pray for America. Pray for God to sovereignly move. It will be well with the righteous. I'm not saying that. God's Word says that. I believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. And the Word of God says, it shall be well with the righteous. Righteousness exalteth a nation. A nation is made up of people. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach. Again, the word reproach, disgrace, shame to any people. Proverbs 14, verse 34. I want it to be well with me. And I want to sow the good seed and reap the good harvest, the bountiful harvest. This is why it is important to sow seeds of righteousness, because every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to reap what they sow. Now, backing up to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 says this, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That is a frightening passage of Scripture, if I must say so. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, if you refuse to live a godly life, if you rebel against my words, if you rebel against my commandments, you will be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Nebuchadnezzar ran roughshod over Israel with the sword. Oh, I know people don't think that can happen in America. I've heard preachers say, as long as America keeps publishing the gospel, God's not going to do anything. God's not going to judge America. Let me tell you something. We cannot do like we're doing. I am disturbed because I don't see preachers preaching messages of repentance anymore. Every conference I have spoken, preached at on Sunday mornings, I preach a message about sin and being lost and how you need to get right with God and you need to be redeemed and washed by his precious blood. I preach those messages because I understand there are so many people that are lost. Do we not understand how lost America is? America is a lost nation. And half of the so-called modern church lie, cheat, drink, smoke dope, are unfaithful to their spouses and committing fornication and all of these sins. God sees everything. Nobody fools God. Nobody tricks God. The righteous are going to be kept. That was one of the prophecies that Dimitri Dudeman was given. How will you save the church? Just as I saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, then the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous will be made manifest. I look at Josiah. We just taught on that for weeks, months. God said, you'll die in peace. He died in a battle. But I believe he had divine peace in his heart and his mind because God said, you will not see the evil that I'm going to bring upon this land. You're not going to see it. Ezekiel prophesied to Zedekiah, you will go and you will live out your days in Babylon. You will live there, but you will not see it. What was that prophecy about? When Nebuchadnezzar killed Zedekiah's sons, and then they gouged and bored out his eyes. He went to Babylon, chained and shackled. He lived there, he never saw it. That's how accurate that prophecy was. He said, you will go there, you will die there, but you will never see it. And I'm sure in the natural, he's thinking, how am I going to go live there and abide there and die there and I'll never see it? He probably never once thought Nebuchadnezzar would gouge out his eyes, did he? That's the accuracy. That is the authority and lordship of the God whom we serve. He said, you're going to go to Babylon, you're going to die there, but you will not see it. And you know what? That is exactly what happened to Zedekiah. That's the sovereignty of God. That is the lordship of God. The older I get, the more I realize, my God, he controls absolutely everything. There is nothing that God does not control. There's nothing that he does not know. He knows it all, down to the very grain of sand on the seashore. God knows it all. Yes, he does. And somehow we think we can toy and play with a God of that sovereignty, of that deity. Luke 12 and 7 says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I thought that was so unique, apropos in the sense that he said, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He didn't say the hairs of your head are numbered. He said they are all numbered. One by one. Then he says, fear not. Ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Talking about the fear of God. See, America has no fear of God. Proverbs 1:7 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word fear of the Lord there means the principal part in knowing who God is to fear him. And I don't mean walking around, oh, don't hit me in the head, don't beat me up. No, that's not the kind of fear. He's a holy God. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. As I shared some time back with Isaiah chapter 6, the seraphim brought a coal from the altar of God and purged his lips. God knew he was going to have a conversation with Isaiah. Isaiah didn't know it, but God knew it. And God said, you can't talk to me till your lips have been purged of sin. It's amazing how true men and women of God understand their wretchedness. Paul said in Romans 7:18, O wretched man that I am. Wretched. It's not a good word, is it? Wretched. Oh, wretched man that I am. Talking about his humanity, his flesh, his carnality. But God has promised to keep the righteous. That's preservation in the midst of judgment. We know, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 says, for God hath not appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Men that are redeemed are not appointed to God's wrath. It was the wrath of God that took out the firstborn in Egypt. The righteous, the redeemed, those covered with the blood of the Lamb did not suffer that. And the blood, more than anything, is to save you. If you're saved and you die, you just went on to be with the Lord. No more toil, no more labor, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more tears. That no longer exists in heaven. As the world churns and as the world burns, you need to be in the secret place of the Most High God. Men have had visions and dreams of civil war. Men have seen a third world war, some believe, and I tend to lean that way in my understanding. It will be after this third world war that you'll see the rise of the Antichrist. They'll be saying, peace and safety. It's over with. NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, that was formed after World War II so that we would not have another world war. But yet we are encroaching that, if we're not already in it, in a limited war right now. And mark my words, if China goes to Taiwan, I believe North Korea will flex their muscles and Iran as well. This whole thing's going to get stupid. And I've said it. It may take the judgment of God for revival to come to America. What a sad, sad price many people pay when they didn't have to pay that price. It did not have to be that way. I look at the Jewish people, how they have suffered immeasurably. Let his blood be on us and to our children. Boy, they thought they had it all figured out. And they were all so terribly, terribly wrong. I know I don't have it all figured out. I wish I did, but I don't. But I do know a whole lot now today that I didn't know yesterday or the day before, 2 years ago. I know a whole lot more now because of staying in the Word, staying on my knees, staying before the Lord. God's a God of revelation. God lets us see things. You know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, the numbers add up. All of a sudden, it looks good. I understand it. I grasp it. Sad to not see truth. And even though God does his best sometimes to use someone to tell us truth, we still won't receive it. There have been people who sucked up to me, called me, wrote me, I'm the best thing since peanut butter and jelly when it comes to preaching the word. Hadn't heard nobody preach the word like you're preaching in 50 years. Then when they find out I'm a post-tribber, oh God, you're a heretic. I said to a preacher the other day, I've been preaching this now for 28 years. I watched a gentleman the other night on Flashpoint talking about the mark of the beast. He was holding up a $100 bill talking about CBDC, central bank digital currency. And I thought, how many people is going to really listen to you because you included the phrase mark of the beast? Oh, we're not going to be here. How much further do you think it's going to go? Everything is being set in place. The old cliche, the table has been set. And Daniel's writing, he said, the judgment is set. That's like in my finite brain, the judgment is set. It's like it is a court date that's been set, and the judge will be there and the prosecuting attorney there, et cetera, et cetera. It is set. You cannot circumvent it. You cannot get around it. When God sets something, it is set. It is fixed. It cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. Though they try, it cannot be moved, and many will try to move what God is trying to do, but you're wasting your time. Once the judgment is set, what that tells you is time has run out. There will be no reprieve. There will be no delay. It must come to fruition. It has to come to pass. And we are coming to a time and a place when there's going to be something to happen and most people will not be prepared for it. They won't like it. They won't embrace it. But it will not change what God has said. God knew the exact day that he would allow Nebuchadnezzar to roughshod Israel, and he set that in an order, and that when the 70 years were completed, the Medo-Persian Empire would come in and take down Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, and destroy the Babylon kingdom and raise up the Medo-Persian kingdom, which Daniel saw in the statue of the man with the head of gold and the chest of silver, et cetera, et cetera, so you get all the way down to the brass toes, brass feet and toes of clay. God had all that laid out. And those seven, well, I should say six kingdoms have all come and gone. We are waiting, in essence, for the fruition of the seventh kingdom. He's of the seven, but he is the eighth. And what that means there is there will be a seventh satanic end-time kingdom arise. That's the seven heads. And on that seventh head, you'll see 10 horns. And all of those horns have a crown. And in the midst of those horns, or those crowns, There's going to rise a little horn, and he's going to be the eighth, just exactly as the Word of God said it would be. That too is set. Nobody can change it. Revelation 17 and 10. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So this seventh demonic kingdom will be short-lived. But then verse 11, Revelation 17, 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, meaning he has a spiritual DNA connection to all past seven kingdoms. Even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. He will be called the son of perdition because he is the Antichrist. The eighth and the little horn that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7 is what Revelation 17 is talking about. And then we see in Daniel chapter 7, verse 11, the literal destruction of this little horn, this man called the Antichrist. Daniel 7:11, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and giving to the burning flame. And that'll take place in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. The beast, the false prophet, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. It's in the scriptures. We just need to search them. God bless you. Have a great week.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.